It's been a year since security forces in Uzbekistan opened fire on demonstrators and reportedly killed hundreds of civilians. Human rights and non-governmental organizations say that since the events of last May 13, government repression of any political opposition in Uzbekistan has increased dramatically. Two prominent U.S. lawmakers say it's time for Washington to take tougher action against Uzbekistan and to establish a consistent policy toward all Central Asia, NPR's Vicky O'Hara reports.
Uzbekistan's longtime president, Islam Karimov, has never had a good human rights record. But human rights organizations and analysts say that now the situation is far worse. Over the past 12 months, the Karimov regime has rounded up suspected opponents and passed new laws to discourage dissent. Martha Brill Olcott, a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, says Karimov also has taken harsh measures to isolate Uzbeks from contact with the West.
Virtually all the U.S. non-governmental organizations working in Uzbekistan that had any sort of political agenda at all have been forced out of the country or effectively reduced to an almost non-existent position.
NGOs and human rights groups complain that the international community should be doing more to convince Karimov to moderate his policies. At an event in Washington this week commemorating Andijan, Senator John McCain of Arizona and Congressman Christopher Smith of New Jersey, both Republicans, agreed. And McCain criticized the Bush administration for what he called an inadequate response to the killings last year.
I don't know if we can induce changes in the current Uzbek government, but I do know that the world will expect us to distance the United States from this repressive government, a regime whose policies grow more draconian by the month.
The Bush administration has cut off aid to the government, but McCain and Smith say that Washington should follow the example of the European Union and impose targeted sanctions, sanctions that would punish President Karimov's family and officials responsible for what happened in Andijan. Richard Boucher, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for South and Central Asia, says the administration might be willing to take those steps at some point.
What we've done, and what we really did right when the massacre happened, was to take very swift action to withhold money from the government and keep most of it away, but actually reprogram part of it back into things that help the Uzbek people.
Cutting off aid to the Uzbekistani government and calling for an independent investigation of the events in Andijan ultimately cost the United States the use of an important airbase in Uzbek territory. Tom Malinowski of Human Rights Watch says the U.S. deserves credit for not clinging to the base at all costs, but he says that Washington's human rights message to the Central Asian states is inconsistent.
When we criticize rightly Russia, for example, for its human rights problems, criticize rightly Uzbekistan, but then extol Kazakhstan in the same breath, it creates a profound sense of cynicism in the region about what America really stands for.
Malinowski was referring to recent comments by Vice President Dick Cheney. During a visit to Vilnius, Cheney blasted Russia on democracy, but praised the repressive government of Kazakhstan. Lieutenant Colonel Kurt Meppen, a senior fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace, worked on Central Asia issues for the past 3 years at the Pentagon. Meppen says Cheney's comments show that national security has become Washington's top priority in Central Asia policy.
I think we have played down the human rights side of things a little more than we would have previously in the need to maintain Kazakhstan as a close partner in the region.
Washington is involved in another balancing act in Kyrgyzstan. The U.S. is trying to renegotiate a lease on a U.S. air base in Kyrgyzstan, the only remaining American military base in Central Asia outside of Afghanistan. Vicky O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.